Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 13 through 15 and have a word of prayer and then jump into the message. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for taking the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and nailing it to your Son's cross. God, I pray that we would certainly see today in our own lives, for sure, that this is something that now is triumphant in our lives through Jesus Christ. And Father, we will thank and praise you now. Use your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5 as well. If you want to turn there, you don't have to. I'll read it for you. But we're going to focus on this passage in Colossians of the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us being nailed to his cross. And I want us to think about the handwriting of the ordinances, or the ordinances that were against you and I, and to think about what it means to us. I'm going to sing a song for you. I don't sing much anymore because my voice just doesn't last through it much. But listen to the words and let this kind of pierce into your thoughts as we put this message together around this thought. That day when they crucified my Savior, he was willing to pay all the cost. When they drove nails, cruel nails, in his body, they were nailing my sin to his cross. Oh, the shame of it. My sin crucified him that day. My sins were to blame. Forgive, Lord, I pray, I'll live. So the world may know I love him for nailing my sin to his cross. I want us to look at the ordinances that have been blotted out because they've been nailed to his cross. In Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says this. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And then the Apostle Paul is going to begin a list of the things, the ordinances that are against mankind. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a person in this room, not a person on the planet, who is not ravaged and devastated by sin. And that sin is myriad. It encompasses many different things for many different people. I promise you today that we're going to talk about a sin that you are struggling with. And I am not trying to point anyone out. It is because all of us are sinners. And all of us are in need of a Savior. I'm reminded in the book of Matthew where, Christ was presented first to Pilate, and Pilate takes him and has him scourged and has him beaten, and we can talk about that horrible event eventually some other time. But then he's spit upon and hit and battered and bruised and mocked and made fun of, and a crown of thorns is placed upon his head and an old cross is put upon his bloodied back, and he's asked to carry it up the hill. And when he gets to the top of the hill, I believe the Bible doesn't give us the description of how the hanging on the cross actually took place. But there's no way to put Christ up there and hold him up while they're nailing him. I believe the cross was laying on the ground. And I believe that our Savior, who the Bible says became obedient even to the death of the cross, crawled himself over and laid himself upon the cross, and allowed himself to be nailed to the cross. And the Bible says here in Colossians chapter 2 that while they were nailing our sin. And I want us to imagine that for just a moment. As a Roman soldier lays a nail to the hand of our Savior. And in Galatians chapter 5, the Bible begins. Now the works of the flesh are these. Adultery. Nailed to our Savior. Fornication. That's everyone who's ever looked at pornography on the internet. That word fornication is the word, the Greek word from which we get the word pornography. Nailed our Savior to the cross. Uncleanness. That's choosing to live our lives as if God doesn't exist so that we can have sexual pleasure in any shape and form that we want. And it's the society that we're giving to our children and our grandchildren. And that sin is pinning our Savior to the cross. Lasciviousness. That party life. That drunkenness. That desire to have nothing hold me back. No one can tell me what to do. Even the God of heaven can't tell me what to do. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live. And Jesus lays on the cross and says, nail your sin to my sinless, perfect body that I might die for it. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation. Blow after blow. His hands. And his feet. Strife, wrath, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. But in Colossians chapter 2, it's not talking about everybody else's sin. In Colossians chapter 2, it says, and you, John Ray, you, being dead in sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance which was against us. It was my sin that nailed him to the cross. And many of those things I don't know anything about. And so I think about my own life. And I remember one day at the age of 8, when my mom looked me in the eye and asked me a question. And in defiance, I lied to her. And the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. And my sin was nailed to the cross. And I remember at the age of 13, when I found a magazine that my brother had hidden. And I can still remember the things that I saw on that page. But my heart lusted after it and wanted more of it. And my sin was nailed to his cross. And I remember at 16 when I got my driver's license and I dared the policeman to tell me how to drive. And your pastor got so many speeding tickets that he was thrown in jail. Because my stubbornness and my rebellion against authority and my sin was holding Jesus Christ to the cross. It wasn't just the sin of the world. It was mine. And God so loved John Ray that he gave his only begotten son so that he might take the handwriting of the ordinances which is against me and nail it to his cross. And then he disappears. I could go on about my own sin, as you might guess. And then he disappears into the tomb. And all of creation groans under the burden and the weight of sin, waiting to see what would happen the first day and the second day. So that it brought the writer of the book of the Revelation, John, in chapter 4, to say, I saw the book and I began to weep because no one was found worthy to open the book. And the angel came over to John, put his hand on his shoulder, said, John, weep not, for one is found worthy. And the trump of God sounds, and the earth quakes, and the Lord's tomb is split open. So that, yes, I was this wicked, vile sinner. But Christ resurrected from the dead so that on June 5th, 1977, your pastor might be able to fall on my face before God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God forgave me of my sin because he had the power, the right to do so, because he faced sin, he faced death, he faced hell, and he was victorious. So the passage ends with this. And having spoiled principalities and powers. You know, there is nothing that is greater than the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing. And I don't care if every one of the sins that God has named here in his book we find ourselves guilty of. I don't care if we went through the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, honor thy father and thy mother. I don't care if we've broken them all. God has taken the handwriting and the ordinance that was against us, and he has nailed it to the cross of his son. And his son faced it all and rose victorious. And through Jesus Christ, our sin can be forgiven. And through Jesus Christ, we no longer have to look forward to a place in hell for all eternity. But through Jesus Christ, we can have our sin debt taken care of and be free to go to heaven one day. And you know, this pastor stands before you as a man who's going to go to heaven. And I'm not going to heaven because I'm a pastor. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a good person. I am not going to heaven because I've done anything worthy of getting me to heaven. I am going to heaven because the God of heaven nailed my sin to the cross of his son. And the God of heaven saw the suffering of his son and said, it is sufficient. And he accepted the death of Jesus Christ as the payment for my sin. It is not that my sin is overlooked. My sin debt is paid. And Jesus paid it all. The question is, what about you? I'm going to heaven one day. And I'm going to heaven because I have taken my faith and I've trusted Jesus Christ to keep his promise. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross to take care of my sin debt. Sin debt and the payment of your sin is now offered to you. What will you do with it? I'm not asking you to join our church. I'm not asking you to start going to church. I'm not asking you to read your Bible. I'm not asking you to do anything, but to place your faith, to trust Jesus Christ to keep his promise. The song goes on to say, although that was centuries ago now, and I wasn't even living, I wasn't even living then at all. The Bible says, Jesus died for all sinners, and this includes me. And that is why the gospel is open to you. Oh, the shame of it. Our sin, folks, crucified him that day. Our sin is to blame. But through Christ, our sin is forgiven.